Savior last night. Got it lost in the duty for the last time. Yay. Oh, Jesus. Sorry about that. I'm not right myself. I've been busier than a cat on a goddamn hot tin roof. With Australia, that's pretty good time. Got down there and got there a couple days before Mike. Was to get my R&R team. I left the 19th, and Australia was split down there. So we got down there and spent one night in a city, Sydney. It looked like it was great action, so we took off and went to this resort town about 400 miles away, the Gold Coast, and flew up there 3 days. And we got there and got out in the sun the next afternoon on Monday. We got in on Sunday afternoon. Monday we got up to Gold Coast. Get some sun in the afternoon, why not get drunk at night? Met a couple, I don't know, we got pretty drunk. we got a couple waitresses and stuff, and had a pretty good time. Didn't really take anything home. We all stayed in hotels. Didn't take anything home. Had a great time. Got up next day, and, we started raining, so the beach is closed up, and it started raining all the time, so nobody came there. We just sat around, messed around in motels and stuff, and went out that night, too, I guess, about our last. Was my last night there, I think. I kind of was getting my nights mixed up. And I had a pretty good time. Picked up a couple frogs. We stayed out until 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. Tried to pick up a couple frogs, and they didn't. I got pretty drunk. And a couple of hippies. And this Randy was trying to hustle on me. They thought I was kind of some kind of a fascist pig or something like that. I didn't go along real good with them. I didn't see that. Or shit, I didn't really go with their lines. And finally we went out and after dinner, left them alone, went out to dinner. Oh, yeah, we said, sat there and had dinner and drank $1 million worth of booze, because that was my night to buy dinner. Dinner cost $11 for the three of us. Bar bill was $24. And as you know, Australian money is 10% more than what it costs here. We just drank a lot of booze. Great meal. And then I met some couple of college girls, and took her up to her apartment, or her motel. She turned out to be the virgin of virgins, and just didn't get anywhere with her. Tried to get her in my room. She wouldn't. Oh, I was getting this bar, and I'm with the girl and all this stuff, and I go into the head. Unzip my pants. Damn zipper breaks at the bottom. I sit down and get them. Pretty drunk, I know, but I'm sitting there trying to get the goddamn zipper to work. And I can't get it. Finally, I rip the son of a bitch, and little zipper knob comes right off of my hand. I can't do anything. So I let my shirt out and went walking back into there, and she thought I passed out the bar. I says, okay, let's go. And, So, this is, okay, I can't explain anything right now. So I walk out the door. She just looked just kind of wondering about that. And I stand outside the door because fucking random people by she jumping over my shirt away. So finally she doesn't come out. I walk back in and I say, listen, we got to get out of here. Well, no, we'll just finish my drink. No, let's go right now. So there was this warrant officer that was kind of running around because he picked up the other broad. And I said, let's get the hell out of here. Or I was talking to her, John, the warrant officer. Said, oh, okay, let's go. The army warrant officer. I'm a kid. No hard feeling here. He was. And so we go outside and I show him what happened. Just funny as shit. How do you explain her in this real nice place? And there you got a zipper open. And so we walked up the block to my motel. And I said, well, let's go over and change my pants. She says, oh, no, I don't think I should go to your motel. I said, no, come on, I'll just go change my pants and I'll walk you down to where you're staying, which is about a block in your direction. And I kind of trying to talk her into it. And there's John and his son of God said, oh, no, why don't you go change pants and your own wheels just wait here in the corner for you? Now we go into this coffee shop and wait for it. Hey, John, whose side are you on? I'm not. You just, I got some booze in my room, and I take her to this girl's place where she's staying. She's got six girls there. It's going to be harder than hell to hop in bed with six broads. So I said, no, I just walk over there. You two go ahead on up to the apartment, and we'll be up in a little while. And the three of them were, oh, no, we'll wait for you. That's when I decided this warrant officer was dumber than a goddamn stone. I was ready to beat him over the head two before to get his undivided attention. Anyway, so we go there, walk the girls back, get her up there, and I try to get her in the room, get her wall to wall girls in there, you know, do anything. Oh shit, what's going on? What a great time we had. I said, listen, I'm not getting laid. I had a pretty good time. Not getting laid isn't everything, but that whole long dry spell, I'd gone off PCOD, pussy head off dates for about a month and a half before that. And a long dry spell. And so, went back and got him out of there finally at about 4 o'clock, 4:15. He said, well, I guess we gotta go home. Oh shit. So we went down to the nightclub. Get a little drunk. 5 o'clock in the morning, I don't even remember coming home. Didn't find anything at night, but we ran into some people we had met the night before. They were just cool as hell, you know. Friendly people. And so the next day, I got up and took a flight back to Sydney. Mike had already gotten in. He was trying to find out where the hell I was and didn't know where the hell I was. And we got there and went over to his, found out which motel he was staying in, went in there. And he finally came home about 4:30. He had this big truth party planned for us at 5 o'clock. We get cleaned up and I go over to the captain's room, just a great goddamn crew. The captain was real cool, and the first officer was good, and there was another guy that was as cool as hell, and six just really charming dogs. And Mike had bought a bunch of shrimp. Oh, it's good stuff. And so we go in there, and everybody comes in bringing a gift. They explained to me that they knew they were going to have a big party for me. And so they put everybody's name in the hat, including mine. And everybody bought something. Yeah. And I said, gee, hey, that's really, really, I felt bad about that. I said, because I just didn't, you know, nobody told me, and I didn't get to buy somebody a gift. And now they didn't, you know, somebody's going without a gift. So some, one of the girls says, oh, you're just present enough just to be here. So I saw a neat little bow hanging there, a chunk of ribbon, put it around my neck, and he says, okay, I'm the present. You going to draw straws for me? And, well, it worked. There was a patriotic girl in the house. Anyway, we sat there. We opened the gifts. One, the broad bought me a gift. He bought me a pair of panties. And I said, Jesus, lady, I don't know what what you think I am. But I said, it might be grim in Vietnam. The things go bad where I got to wear a set of these. So that's when I go downtown. Yeah, she says, no, you're supposed to take those and find out who they fit. And she did. So I was trying to get all the girls to try them on. Finally got one to try them on. But then, so we're sitting there. A couple of the girls, the one that bought me the panties had her cousin in Australia. He came to pick her up. And, somebody else went off on a date, so she left. Well, that left this big Irish girl, or not Irish, Italian girl, and the English girl, and one of the purses, well, two of the purses, were a little older. I was kind of playing for, even though the first, I was just playing a fool, you know, I was just sitting there having a grand old time, having the most enjoyable time I've ever had. Just haven't been around six beautiful young ladies so goddamn long. And so Mike is making this play for this big-headed Italian girl, Regina. And she's got a sari. It's Italian, or not Italian, but Indian robe, you know, from India, and these things wrap itself up in. And he's gonna wake up to play of her, and I'm just kind of talking with all the rest of the clubs, and just talking about general and everything. Finally, he says, okay, let's go out and eat. There's Mike, oh, one of the first officers. He's the only guy, a little weird. He's I guess he's a great pilot, but he didn't smoke, drink, or cuss, which I thought he was kind of weird. Now, I never trust anybody that doesn't smoke, drink, or cuss. That just, this shit just doesn't get it. But he seemed to be real cool. He was an Air Force guy, and I guess he was real cool. Happened that him and Mike were the only two Air Force guys in there. The rest of us were all Navy. Captain, and the other, hell, three other guys that were Navy. He had them outnumbered 4-1, 4-2, or something. And anyway, so we go up, and there's four of us go up to four guys. Mike and I, and this Air Force guy, and then some other guy, I forget the name. And then the one purser, not bad, and the Italian girl, and the English girl. So Mike gets me over the phone, and he says, oh, he wants to screw this English girl. And I said, Pops, you are making me a play on this Italian. He said, the Italian doesn't really turn me on. I said, well, what the shit are you going to do? I said, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit there and kind of play an open field. So this Italian is kind of hanging on Mike, and Mike's trying to walk away from her on the way over to dinner. And we go in and sit down at the bar, and I sit this English girl down, sitting down next beside her. And Mike sits down on the other side of her, and the Italian girl sits down beside him, and then the other guy, and then the other purser, and then the Air Force guy. So I'm sitting there talking to the English girl, and Mike's got his back to the Italian, talking to the English girl. So two of us are talking to her. The Italian is just sitting there, and I take the English girl out to dance, and then Mike comes out. I just immediately take the English girl out to dance, and he stays there. I'm just sitting there having my drink, and Italian girl, she's getting a little pissed. And so I go out, and I dance with the purser, and she's out there. She comes up with the coolest line. She just really grasps me on the dance floor, and she's going down. I was having the greatest time in the world with these beautiful people and all this. She just pulled the shit out of me. She's probably 26, maybe 27. Good looking girl. And she says, Tim, she says, you know, we were talking about, you know, being there 10 months and I'll just do anything for you. And over there, and I'm going, yeah, I don't know one thing you can do for me, lady. So I kind of let it go with that. I shouldn't have, I guess. So I go back, and still out in the open. And I dance with the Italian. Finally, they all decide to sit down and eat dinner. And Mike sets the Italian one girl on the corner, sets me across from her, sets the English girl down, and it sits on the opposite side, about halfway down the table from the Italian, where he can't even talk to her. And so I can see she's getting, you know, because he was making a play earlier. She's getting really hurt. So we eat dinner. She doesn't eat, she drinks. She's just guzzling booze. And so I take her out there for a couple of times. And finally she just goes, she just can't take it anymore. Starts to get up and run out. And so I take her out. And she's all shut down. Some goddamn thing. So we go around, we just walk around the city. So then we come back and go to her apartment, her building, and I talk to her, and I'm just being a nice guy, and she says, you know, nobody really likes her and all this. Okay. Besides saying you're kind of a bitch, you're a nice looking bro. And being tactful as usual. So I take her up to a room, and I'm just going to, you know, pencil good night and go to bed. Then I thought, well, I might as well stop and talk to her for a few minutes. And that robe is the longest goddamn thing in the world. So after I embarrass myself there, and I said, I stopped. Several months before indulging because I didn't want to get the BD from downtown, and I was probably the world's shortest. And that pissed her off, I guess. She gets me on bed. I didn't ever tell Mike about that. And, so I went home. What do you do when you're laying on the floor? What's the next step? Hey, yo. Hey, I want to do that. That doesn't sound good, but, Christ, my dreams completely. So I went home, and Mike, in the meantime, took the English girl back, and she wouldn't go to bed with him because she thought I was going to come into the room all the time. And, so, I did get somewhere at least. And next day, we sat around, and Mike, messed around with Mike at the party the next night. And, I ran into, the first night I was there, I ran into Bill Shepard. And I passed up Lori and she drank with him. And next day, Mike and I went around, and then we had a food party with another crew. They were kind of deadheads. Oh, this was New Year's Eve. And we ran into Larry Sony, the shit hot 100 pilot of Mike's. He's in the guard. And we went out and got drunk, and we had some outstanding steams on the crew that Mike was going to go with to Darwin, but they were all sentimental about it being Christmas Eve and stuff, and wouldn't do anything. They all wanted to go to church. And I said, five people to church, but none of them were Catholic, and they didn't want to go, and Mike got drunk. Oh, Mike got shit faced. He passed out at dinner. Larry and I were talking about war and all this good shit, and Mike just he pulled the old favorite sleep away kit. I was going to go run downtown, but Christmas Eve at 1:30 in the morning, I just didn't feel like going out on my own looking for a hooker or something. Just something about it. So next morning we went to Mass, and then he left the next day. He had to leave in the afternoon at Darwin with his crew. And Bill Shepard came back, and then my two buddies, Randy Wyatt and Ross Hanover, came back down from the Gold Coast, and they had a really enjoyable time there up until then. They had run on a couple of frogs, and this family had taken them out for Christmas dinner and stuff. Ran on to three fantastic frogs that they had done. There were 10 girls in the family, a family of 14 or something. Three of them were 26, 24, and 23. Yes, they had a really good time. Just people were just warm as hell. And so they came back, and Bill Shepard was there, and then this Larry, and Ken Ann had this great big goddamn dinner for all the Ken Ann people at the hotel we were staying at. And came across the Elizabeth Bay Road townhouse. And so Bill says, well, why don't you come join us for dinner? Because you're still with K&M and California came for this 8-12-4th meal. And I tried to get my two buddies in on it. They couldn't get in. And I suppose that kind of pissed them off. And I was the asshole and didn't let them go. And I talked with them, but they said, they were going to go out on their own. And so I went to the dinner. And we must have drank $1 million of champagne. I don't know how much money I spent, but I was buying champagne at the dinner. The company bought the first three bottles per table, all like six people at the table, and then everybody else bought their own, and so we just, I got shit faced, and there was this one stage about 10 left in the afternoon, and finally toward the end of the evening, 2 o'clock in the morning, everybody's getting so shit faced, and I have a big discussion with the captain of the crew that's going to be taking me out of Darwin the next day, or taking me to Darwin. And finally, I take off of this stage. We go outside, I'm drunk as hell, so we go over to the next hotel. It's a big, tall sound. We ride up in the elevator on the 11th floor, and then we crawl up the no entrance hatch to the top, and then we crawl up the ladder to the top of the goddamn thing, looking about 40 stories high all over the place. We're standing on top of the building, electrical wire running all over. Lucky we didn't get electrocuted. And we sit up there for a little while. She's getting pretty warm, pretty receptive. So run her back to my partner room, and guess I didn't have a flag to wave or something. Didn't talk it into it. Next day, just go back, pick us up, and fly us to Darwin. And while we're going, the captain comes back, and I sat right near the front. I had the stewards reserve a couple seats for us in the front. And the captain comes back, and he says, "Hey, Tim, come on up here." Everybody kind of looked around. And so I climb in the front seat. And I sit up there for about an hour and a half. We asked him, Larry Chappell. Larry Chappell's his name. Larry Chappell was the first officer. So we sit up there BSing. And he shows me the airplane. We get to Darwin. Mike picks us up. And we fly back. And pussy that Mike was with wouldn't let me in the front seat, or, you know, in the front cockpit. He just couldn't see that. And Mike brings us into Saigon, just headed an enjoyable goddamn time. Yeah, his tape seems to be running okay. I would have killed myself if it wouldn't have been. Talked about a half an hour about this trip. I really, really had a good time. It was good to get away for a while. Dropped everybody a card from there that we didn't really pick up. I didn't buy her anything in Australia. Just spent about $350. I didn't need to buy any clothes. I didn't even Hong Kong buy clothes. I got by with what I had. And came back here, got back here on the 26th, started flying. And they're flying. I've been flying every day since then, except the days I had the duty. On the 31st of January, I had 992 hours. 31st of December, 1970, I finished up with 992 hours. By the 2nd, I had broken that, broken the 1,000 hour mark. So. And then New Year's Eve, head off, had a great party there. Oh boy, did everybody and their dog get shit faced. Thing here. Oh, we got drunk. I got drunk, and the skipper got drunk, and the commodore got drunk, and the admiral got drunk, and Jesus. I was telling the commodore I was buying him drinks, and I was BSing with the commodore and telling him bullshit. I guess I was telling the admiral bullshit. They were all agreeing with me. Oh, we had the greatest damn time. I called a full colonel at the Air Force to, I just knocked that shit off. He was telling us that we were too rowdy. And I says, bullshit, we're not rowdy. You gotta see us if we get rowdy. Most of this I don't remember. But I wonder if, it seems to be still going. But after we got back from Chest and that, or back from R&R, this month of January has been a real bitch. It's 26th today, and I've probably broken over. We probably have over 70, 75 hours already. I don't know. I haven't even looked at my hours. I know I've just been flying my ass off. One day I got 6 scrambles. I had to take them all front seat. And that little bastard's down on the ground was trying to... it wasn't really bad. I know my wingman got all shook up. And, we were sitting over there, and we're putting in a strike for this guy. And his other place started taking incoming. So we went over there, and they were getting hit hard, really hard. And we were only 5 clicks away from it. And so we could see it when it started. And I was a flight leader. In fact, I was a senior flight leader in the flight. I was the only FTL. And so we go over there, and I got a brand new guy in the back seat. And okay, anyway, we got it switched over and everything. And he just isn't. The guys on the ground are getting pretty shook up. They're in pretty good mortar attack. The guy in the mud bath is having a little hard time trying to figure out who he was who. So I take over Fox Mike, and then I find coordinate with the other plane with some uniform. And I'm having a little bit of time with it because I don't have that much ordnance left. I want to put it in as soon as possible. We're orbiting over top. And all of a sudden, you get an air breeze. Charlie shoots a B-41 at us. It's going up about 2,500 feet in a slow. Well, I'm up here at 2,500 feet. I actually give it that fast. It goes on 2,500 feet. And when he goes, do you see that? I'm too busy talking to notice all those bullshit of people doing it. Well, it wasn't much. We finally get the guy cleared, and we tell the guy we know where some of the positions are, the safety dude. We yell him, put some ordnance down around the area. And then we go back and make a hot turnaround. And I've been fucking up the flight pretty good all along. So then I ride backseat on the next one. Get another guy. Get one of the two guys in the wing airplane. They're both fairly old. I put the new guy in the backseat of the wing airplane. And I ride the backseat of the front one. And get a lieutenant up in front of the lead. Yeah, because I'm still controlling the damn thing. He's a lieutenant on the FDL. So we go out there and we get scrambled back out there. We get the shit in the bag that time. Get everybody where they want to be. And by this time, they've understood where they got families and we get cleared on the area. We put that in. And we go back and just get plane signed off and scrambled again. So I take front seat, take the lead again. I went out to this target. And after 10 months here, it's undoubtedly the hardest goddamn target I have ever worked. We get out there and this guy is afraid he's going to be on the ground. And he's been mortared and he's half a big canal and a little squiggly up in the Union Forest. The Union is a nasty motherfucking forest. You read about it. Well, it's the whole fucking area of the Union Forest. And it's just hotter than shit. And, we go out there, get in the area, and he calls us over. And just blind ass luck come onto his position. There's nothing out there. We got a ground fog just starting up from the ground, and it's just dark inside a cow. And he calls us on top, and I finally see the squiggly he's on. A real small little stream. And I tell him to mark his position somewhere. He says he can't. I said, okay, use tracers in my back seat. Use tracers. He's on a machine gun, M60, the only one that's got tracers on it. They blow it up. I've got KIAs all around me. And, we just don't have any tracers. Well, here's your 38 with tracers in it. Maybe we don't have any tracers in our guns. We're out, out in the center. I said, do you have anything? He said, well, I've got a flashlight. The batteries are dead. How about a cigarette, And he can't light his position. And I'm going, Christ, I don't know where to, we just keep to work with somebody. And I've been in positions where other FDLs have gone home because of that. And he says, Christ, Tony, he says, these guys are right outside of us. And he says, I think they're going to try and overrun us. And okay, do you have anything, fire, anything? I can't get a fire started. And I'm going, okay. And he says, I drop a flare. And he says, the flare is lighting up the ground around here. And I said, okay, I got the squiggly you're on. I'm going to start firing to the east of you, or the west of you. And I roll in and machine gun. Yeah, it's to the west of me. He says, now move it back up. Come around, I tell my wings hang high, run in, and maybe put one rocket in. And I know he's on the south side of the canal, and I'm shooting on the north side of the stream. And moving it up about 100 meters at a time, he's sitting there. I move it up closer to me. I don't know how closer to me it is. And each pass, it's just hard as hell to figure out where you shot the last time. You got a hell of a wind. Flares are drifting. And finally, I see a canal out there. The canal that's running perpendicular, squiggling. And I roll in on it. I started rocket just to the north bank. And that's position. So work it around 50 meters all around us. Oh, Christ. I finally found something I could see there. So pop some more flares. We go to work. We're putting them in, and I make a run with our zoonies, and he says, Christ, you got it right on top of something. It's interrogative. Where's the position from there? He says, we're 100 meters to the west. And, I don't know, 100 meters is not very far when, let's say, our Zuni frag pattern hits 150 feet. So that's half the distance right there. Yeah. Not knowing where it is each time. This little canal was so goddamn small you could just barely see it. And the wing was pulling off several times because he couldn't see where the hell to hit. And he was following me so goddamn close because he said he'd come in and he trusted me. He said, wherever I shot, he was going to shoot. And, I tell you, I was fucking sweating blood on that target. And so I just really thought, really wanted to help the guy. And did a pretty good job for him. Then we went back home. We hopped, turned around, came back, and did the same thing for him. I flew front seat again. Might as well get all the front seats again. And We went out there and did the same damn thing. Had a good, put in some good strikes for him. Call back later, and they gave us 2 KBA out there. I couldn't believe it. They couldn't get into the area. They never knew what we did, but they found 2 bodies for sure. 4 strikes. Yeah. Okay, and since then, I've been flying just a whole bunch. And working on the ordnance and keeping it busy. Definitely haven't even had time to wipe my ass lately, to be truthful with you. I didn't get anything from home. I sent everybody card over Christmas. I haven't sent anything back lately. Oh yes, I guess I got a letter from Sandra. Yeah, she told me about the other things going on. I've got to write somebody in. I just took the time out tonight to drop you this tape. Thought maybe you'd quit the freaked out or something, quit writing. I was trying to sleep. I couldn't sleep tonight. I've got to go fly a 4-hour patrol from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock down over solid anchor. Be right on the tip of the Delta. They've been getting mortared every night. They think that they get mortared, get the shit kicked out of them tonight. And so they want us overhead all night long. So that's a great goddamn thing. I got 4 hours sleep last night. You go out there from 10 o'clock to 4 hours droning around in the air. I'm flying a lot of those 4-hour ones. Boy, the ass gets sore. That's not too much flight time. What can I do with a nickel? For a dime, I can buy a cup of coffee. As I said, I haven't really written much. Got a package from the Huntley. Great Christmas presents, all kinds of good food and stuff. Now I've got to write them a letter and thank them. Haven't done that lately. Got a letter from Catherine and Bill. And wrote them a letter back. They're great people, really good up there in Seattle. And haven't heard from Mike. But I expect to see him here in a couple days. I'm going to go to Hong Kong on the 6th. He'll be in there, I'll be in there on the 6th. And Mike should get in there 6th or 7th. Okay. For stuff in Hong Kong, didn't you buy the, I don't know what you bought Jack and Eddie, but I just seen pick them up some stuff like if I thought you got them some tape decks or something. And tell me what they need, if they need some speakers. And if I could send them up some speakers and shit, maybe an amplifier. And they can pick up their own tape deck, or their own, if they've got the tape deck, pick up some speakers and amplifier for them. But let Mike know what they need. I've got $4,000 in the bank, which I know isn't a hell of a lot. Got a lot of goddamn bills. But I plan on buying a little bit of stuff for myself, my complete stereo stuff. And then buying everybody else something. Some stuff and finally losing about $1,500 a year. I'll cover that in a minute. But go ahead, let Mike know what you want. And I'll get it and ship it back home to you. And I don't know, I've written to them and nobody got them right to me. Getting enough to piss me off, but I don't know. I don't know. Let Mike know what you want. Okay. So I'm going to Hong Kong. Should have a great time there. The four of us going. Randy Wyatt, Ed Sullivan, and Ed Madden. Four of us in our class. The other three just left today. In fact, I took Skipper up today, and they're meeting their wives in Hong Kong. And then when they get back, we get to go. Should have an outstanding time. Orders. I got my orders. I'm going to San Diego. ES-21. Flying STs. Whoopee. But Skipper called me in and he says, hey, you've got a big cutback. All reserves. You want out, you're out. This is turn on your orders. I'll probably give you an out. I said, oh yeah, right. I told him I didn't want an out. I just, Christ, I can't see two of us joining the bread line. That better be shitty. And besides of his pay raise, hell, I'm going to be making a little bit, and I'm with you. I don't want to go to work yet, and I'm not ready to go up. And the S-2 flying anti-submarine isn't anything that's the OV-10 Bronco Balfour Black Pony bullshit. There's nothing that's ever going to compare with that. San Diego is a good place. Should be an enjoyable tour. I'll probably come out, make one cruise out on a boat for 6 months and get some carrier landings and get back to the Orient, probably Australia. Hell, I'll do it. It's something I put on a set of Navy wings and shit, because I told a detailer. I told him I didn't like the goddamn orders and I wanted something else. He says, well, you got the out. So I didn't want that. But I could always make the best wherever I go. It's all day. All I gotta do is watch out for goddamn cops in San Diego. I'm gonna quit the boozing. Slow down the boozing and not drink when driving. And that's a problem. Oh shit, I'm gonna get me the ugliest girl that doesn't drink. She's gonna drive me around to all the bars in town. I'll tell you them apples. Another point of interest, a kid, this strong will-powered son of a bitch, quit smoking. I'm gonna take a pack up with him tonight too, because it's 4 fucking hours and the air is gonna drive me buggy, but I quit smoking about a week ago. I was trying to get my breath out and all this. Just went downtown the other day and I figured out why I smoked, because now I can start to smell things. Oh, it smells shitty around here. So, anyway, I'm going to be in San Diego. Next stop. Yeah, I better check how much sleep I got. Yeah, after I quit smoking here, in a couple weeks, I'll probably be able to breathe through my nose and get hacking and all this bullshit. Anyway, as I said, the next point, Europe, pops. Change of command. Going to be on 4 March. I went in, looked at the thing, and government says, we will take you back from Vietnam if you survive your year here. We'll take you back to Travis. So I sent a letter, and or they said, oh, we will take the money it takes to send you to Travis, send you any place you want to go, buy your ticket, reserve a seat for you, and until your money runs out, and then you're on your own, then you can go hitchhike in the military. Space available. And So I sent in a request that I wanted to go through the, I put every city or every country in Europe that I wanted to go through. Well, every country in Europe. And I sent the message in the other day, and they called up, I guess, this morning or something from Saigon and said that my ticket, they will give me a ticket that'll get me to Spain. And then from then on, I'm on my own. So, shit, I'm in Spain. All I got to do is travel Europe and come back home. Hell, that's better than Folkney Island. Sharp step. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and take that. I'll talk to Mike in Hong Kong. He'll pick me up a ticket to Pan American for 80% off. And he'll probably get you a ticket, or unless you can find another way over there. You can get a military way, you take that. But it's always good to have this ticket in your pocket if the military, you know, fly plenty of time, you fly with the military. But, it's nice to have this Pan Am ticket. If you get stuck with the military, you hop on Pan Am and say, let's go, baby. So Mike will pick me up the ticket, and the three of us will meet in Austria. Yes, Austria, Germany, some little place in Switzerland, some place, St. Jacques or some damn thing. I don't know the name of it yet. He's supposed to be writing to the place, and he knows about it. It's a skiing resort. He knows about it, and for skiing. And the three of us will converge on that spot. I should get there. I put in a request to leave here the 5th. I don't know. They might not be able to get me booked out till the 6th, or they might book me on the 4th. Anyway, we should get there by the 7th. 7th of March, 1971. And I'll have the address, and that's where I'll go. And I'll talk this over with him next week in Hong Kong. And you get together with him. You meet him there. And we'll meet there, spend a couple days, maybe go over to Sweden and Germany, do things, hit London, bounce out of London, and come home. And I figured about 2 weeks there. Just how I'll have 39 days if I leave here. Spend 2 weeks there. Maybe come in, land on the East Coast there, stop down at Norfolk, see you for a while, and then probably bounce out home and pick up the family and friends out there. What I was considering was maybe bouncing from the East Coast, go to the West Coast, stop in at Catherine and Bill's. I don't know. I'd like to stay in here. Catherine and Bill's get too bad off. Catherine does. If not, I'll stop off there on the way down to Frisco. But then probably I'll go back to the ranch, get there just before the 1st of April. And then probably about the 5th of April or something, you can meet me there, get Denver. Denver's kind of the wrong way from Seattle, I just thought. But I don't know. I'll fly free, you know. I don't make these big plans. Itinerary of the trip, of course, that's a big mistake for all of us, I think. We put things off too long. At least I'm trying to get this thing initiated in time. But, you know, I'm giving things 2 months to get ready. Actually, it's only a month now. I've been working on it for about 2 months. I conceived the idea before I went for Christmas. But meeting you in Europe, doing a little skiing, and I don't know how much it's going to cost. As I said, I'm going to get about $1,000. Should have about $1,000. I'll probably drop $2,500 to $3,000 in Hong Kong, which will leave me $1,000 in the bank, plus about $1,000 paid. I might have $2,000 in my pocket. But don't worry about money. Eddie made O2 over 3 here a little while ago, which bringing in a paycheck now, plus the raise, bringing in a paycheck of $800 a month, like that $800 a month, with about $150 allotments taken out. Kid's not doing bad. Coming around after after next March or next November, kid is going to bounce up there to a lieutenant, unless they cut that out. Get about another $200 a month out of the Uncle Sam, and can sneak back up into the thing, get paid. Anyway, I'll have some money. A little bit of money. I could probably save it and invest it at grant or something, but hell, I tell ya, I've been working my ass off here, kid, and I know the people back home want to see me and try and explain to them, I'll never get a chance like this to go to Europe. I mean, I just don't get my way paid there, where all I have to do is pay my way back out. And, hell, it's damn near as cheap as dunking. Who am I kidding? Keep talking, you slobber-tongued son of a bitch. Anyway, I can talk myself into anything. I like the idea of going to Europe. That's why I'm going. And I'll still be able to spend a couple weeks there. So think about it. Say 2 weeks, 16 days at the max. I would say try and get there. Try and take your leave so you get there on the 8th, 7th or 8th. I won't know. I'll probably know in about, I should know by the 15th of March, 15th of February, what day I'm actually leaving here. And as soon as I get back from Hong Kong, I should have that knowledge. So I might have it before I go to Hong Kong. If I do, I'll let Mike know and he'll be able to coordinate it. If you need any money, as I said, Navy's just been doing pretty good with me. If you need anything, I quit buying all the shit that I wanted to buy in Hong Kong. Also, if you need any clothes or anything, send them along. I'll pick you up a pair of ski pants. I gotta buy some ski clothes. I have to buy some heavy clothes too, because it's colder and shit out there. And my Vietnam wardrobe isn't that heavy. Okay, and anyway, I'll talk to Mike and get it coordinated. 7 March, big day. 7th, 8th March. Do a little skiing, break my leg, and finding some beautiful women, and just see what comes. Just relax. Just don't worry about weapons density reports. Don't worry about making a goddamn schedule 3 times a day because you know you did. Just sit back and say, Pops, I'm relaxing. I'll like it yet. Oh, I forgot to tell you. There's a little extension on my organs. Kind of breaks the subject, but it ended up, I'm going to extend for 4 months, 3.5 months. So instead of getting out in April, I get out in July. That's no big thing. That gets me out about elk hunting season, 1973. So I still get a paying job for a couple of years. I don't have to worry about things. So, as I said, the STs don't sound like the greatest thing in the world. But as a man said, it's a cockpit, And if you want the Navy, it's in the Navy. Yeah. I don't like deadlines. Hey, Brownie, you old son of a gun, how are ya? I'm sure you probably kept part of this tape, so, don't let your wife hear all my nasty language and all this bullshit. What? Corrupt your wife's young ears. Anyway, take care, Pops, and I'll probably see you down there at Norfolk. You haven't heard from anybody. It won't phase in, but haven't really heard from him. Haven't heard from Highland either, ass. Gotta get a hold of him and find out where he used to live in San Diego. Fellas, there's about 15 of my friends. There's going to be 15 of us living in San Diego, so in the squadron. So should have a pretty good time. A bunch of them are bachelors. Oh, Willie, Rob, yeah, you didn't know him. You might have known Gary Rob. He used to go with the Ghost Riders into Checo November. He was one of those guys. Shit hot guy. Captain in the Army. Really shit hot. Said he couldn't remember you, but he remembered the Ghost Riders. He rode a lot with you. I think I mentioned that. He went with you on that 25 October 1969. 25, 6, and 7. It'll probably bring back some bad memories. But anyway, you might have been on those tops. He's down there. Bill Robb is. And, hey, your ideas on what you're going to do, I don't know. Said the deadlines don't look too good. Goddamn Nixon. Decked up, Hogan's goat. He really made a fucked up things. I mean, people might say things about Johnson, but I don't know. I didn't think Johnson was that bad. I think Nixon's dicked up. But I just can't really tell you what to do. It's your decision. That thing of going through working with Johnson and going to school up there sounds like a good idea. Get in that school, get that degree. Of course, I don't know with Nixon's. It's in there, I don't know if it really helps, but it never hurts. You want Pops, San Diego, of course San Diego, you probably couldn't find a job to break your ass down there. Probably more unemployment down there than anything. But anytime you want,